Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Our text this morning is from Matthew chapter 25. Now after a long time, the master of those servants came and settled accounts with them. And he who had received the 5 talents came forward, bringing 5 talents more, saying, Master, you delivered to me 5 talents. Here, I have made 5 talents more. His master said to him, Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master. The text. We continue in this mini season at the end of the church year when we do focus on the last days, the coming judgment for those who will be cast into the outer darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth, as Jesus says. But also we look at the coming glory of eternity in the presence of God for those to whom God will say, Well done, good and faithful servant. Last week we heard some tough words from the prophet Amos. Woe to you who desire the day of the Lord. The day of the Lord is darkness and not light, gloom with no brightness in it. But remember, Jesus' words were even harder for us to listen to, as he said to the 5 foolish virgins, I do not know you. And he shut the door and left them out in the darkness. This week's readings are along the same lines. The prophet Zephaniah sounds a lot like the prophet Amos. Just like in our world today, the prophet Zephaniah lived among a people who had this imagination in their mind that there is no need to fear God or any judgment. Even though the Lord says, I will punish the men who are complacent, those who say in their hearts, the Lord will not do good, nor will he do evil. He can't do anything. We see the same thing today. On Monday morning on Facebook, I was going through my homepage and I saw this quote. It was one of these, you know, little icons that somebody had shared. And the quote said, The God that I was raised to believe in wouldn't send anybody to hell. And the person was serious. And I'm sitting there thinking, how much of the Bible would you have to eliminate, you know, just kind of cut out and throw away for that statement to be true? It was dumbfounding. I mean, I've seen it before, but it was just like, it's so in your face that this is the imagination of the world in which we live, that God either can't do anything or won't do anything in regard to the day of the Lord. The issue is God's word of truth, as all of Scripture is God's word of truth, is not viewed as truth in the world around us. Everything that we read in the word of God is stated as being true. And as I said in Bible class last Sunday, this is what terrifies me as you read through the Word of God. You know, think of all the things that Scripture says. You know, Jesus says, to those who have been given much, much more will be demanded. Woe to those who cause one of these little ones to stumble. It would be better for him to have a millstone tied around his neck and be hurled into the sea. Zephaniah says the day of the Lord is a day of wrath, a day of distress and anguish, a day of ruin and devastation, of darkness and gloom, for those who are complacent, for those who are comfortable in their sin, for those who do not fear the one who can kill both the body and soul in hell. These words are meant to terrify us. The appointed readings for this week and last week should make all of us feel really uncomfortable, because that's what the law of God is designed to do. The law is there to kill you. But as Paul says in Thessalonians, our epistle reading this morning, God has not destined us for wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, The law killed him instead of you. He entered the world for this reason. He came to stand between you and the wrath of the law of God. He is your strength and your shield, as Scripture says. And nothing that you do helps in your salvation. The gospel does not equal Jesus plus something else. It is all his work. Now, this creates two different ways to look at our words and the actions of our life. We live before God in the grace of our baptism, clothed in the righteousness of Christ. Like the parable, God has given talents, that is, a measure of some value. He has given, apportioned his kingdom to each person, each according to his ability, as it says in the parable. There is an expectation that you will be productive. However, when you stand before the judgment seat of the Lord and look upon your work, recognize that everything that you do and say is basically wrong in some way, shape, or form. Choices are laid out before you, and whatever choice you make, that choice will be wrong because there is no perfect solution or perfect action in this world. Every choice, every bit of work that you do in life is done in sinful incompleteness. My works are filthy rags before the Lord. They have no value to him for making me right with God. This is why Jesus had to come. This is why Jesus had to die. This is why Jesus had to rise again from the dead. And it is correct for us to look at our actions, to look at our words, to look at our daily interaction with others and say, my works are of no benefit to me. So let's say, hypothetically, that crazy winter weather appears and out of nowhere it happens to snow in November, and we actually receive a forecasted amount of snow. Your son or daughter goes out and shovels all of the sidewalks and driveway at your house without even being asked. Honor your father and your mother. This is keeping the law. But it doesn't improve your standing with God. And it's not really keeping the law, because the law says, love your neighbor as yourself. And you get done with the sidewalk and driveway at your house, guess what? There's a lot more sidewalks and driveways to shovel. And even if you start in the morning and don't quit until dark, your lack of finishing off everyone's sidewalk is sinful incompleteness. You have not fulfilled the law. You have not loved your neighbor the same as you love yourself. However, even though it is true that God does not need your good works, because Jesus has done everything for you and you can't keep the law, God does not need your good works, but your neighbor does. And in these actions, you have honored your father and mother by shoveling their sidewalk. And this pleases God. Even though it's not a perfect work, it pleases him. Now, the same action, the same choices I make, which are always wrong in the eyes of the Lord because they are not perfect, it's done in sinful incompleteness. Those same actions may be of great benefit to my neighbor. It's just that it's not of benefit to all of my neighbors. It can't be. It will never be perfect. it is not pure. It is not, my actions are never completely righteous. But when we strive to do the will of God and strive to work within His kingdom, we do it to the glory of God and for the good of our neighbor. And this pleases God. The focus of the thou shalt not, it's for the protection of my neighbor from me. Again, God doesn't need my good works. Jesus has done everything. But my neighbor needs my good works. It pleases God when He receives kindness from me. When love is shown, and we never perfectly love our neighbor the same as we love ourselves. We just don't. But when we do acts of kindness, when we offer forgiveness, even to the undeserving, this is pleasing to God. In the parable of the talents, the master is evaluating the work of his servants. And to the one who had been given 5 talents, who had made 5 talents more, he took that property and put it at risk. You know, not just burying it in the ground, but he put it out there so it would work and it would be, you know, something that would be profitable. The master comes to him and says, "You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master." The work that we do, the choices that we make, they're never pure, they're not perfect, and they seem little because they are little. That's why Jesus says what He does. But it's the little things in life that matter to the Lord. Next week in our gospel reading, we hear about Jesus on the last day separating the sheep and the goats. And He says, "I was hungry and you fed me. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink." And the righteous answered, "When did we see you hungry and feed you? When did we see you thirsty?" And Jesus says, "Truly I say to you, as you did to the least of these my brothers, you did to me." What we do and say to others in our life, we do and say to Christ. That is the attitude we are to have, because that's the reality. And therefore, the little things that we do in life matter. Now, these are the 2 ways of looking at our actions in this life. Speaking kindly to your neighbor, caring for your neighbor, it means nothing as we stand before the judgment seat of God. Every choice that you make is wrong, because no choice is perfect, and our sin deserves to be punished. In His mercy, Christ took your punishment for you. Because God not only loves you and chose to forgive you and make you His own, but because He loves your neighbor also, for their benefit, He desires for you to speak kindly to them, to care for them, to not simply tuck away the gifts of mercy you have received for your own personal comfort, as the man who had received the 1 talent did. The day of the Lord is coming. On that day, whether you have been entrusted with many talents in this life or only a few, there is only one thing that matters. We have received everything we need from Christ. Through His death and resurrection, we have salvation. It is the promise that we carry with us from the day of our baptism. What we long for, what we strive for, is to hear those words of Christ our Lord, who one day will say to you, "Well done, good and faithful servant." Amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.